Our busy Friday morning continues. We thank Chuck Crabb for his time in hour number one. And Joe Smith was also with us as well, giving their perspective on Indiana basketball's big decision yesterday. Director of Athletics and Vice President Fred Glass has decided to go a different direction in men's basketball, relieving Tom Crean of his head coaching duties yesterday. And for some more input on this, we welcome in our good friend from the Indianapolis Star. It's the beat writer for Indiana University basketball, Zach Osterman. Zach, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Glass. How about you?
You've had an awfully busy week. You start off with a trip to Georgia Tech and the NIT on Tuesday. Come back. The team gets back late on Tuesday night. Silence Wednesday and Thursday. And then yesterday, when the NCAA tournament tips off, there comes the press release about 12:16 saying that Indiana University is going to make a change in their basketball program. Let's start with yesterday, and we'll kind of backtrack from there. This was an option in the cards moving forward. People thought the silence that came from the athletics department after the Georgia Tech trip, did that set this up for this conclusion, or was this just part of Fred Glass, the director of athletics, vice president, being pragmatic Fred Glass as we've seen before?
I think it's probably both. I think it'd probably be both. I think Fred Glass, I think he was serious when he said, I'm going to review this as I review all of my programs when their seasons are over. And I said, you know, even kind of in the intervening time when the silence was growing more and more deafening, I said on radio interviews, did a podcast in-house, that in my experience, it would take something extreme for Fred to, you know, sort of backtrack on that practice. That is just sort of standard operating procedure. And I guess the point basically is, I know that a lot of Indiana fans were frustrated to the point of, I don't want to say quitting on the season, but certainly sort of packing in their investment in the season, withdrawing their investment in the season, I guess you should say, probably from mid-February on. That said, I think that sometimes the fact that so many people had divested themselves of the season by that point or soon after, there started to become this kind of narrative that Indiana wasn't doing anything, wasn't analyzing the situation. That wasn't the case. The season just wasn't over yet. And I know that maybe emotionally it felt over to a lot of fans, and I can understand that. But, from a practical and administrative standpoint, it wasn't. So between, you know, Georgia Tech on Wednesday morning, I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, between the end of the season at a little before midnight on Tuesday night, and when we hear this, you know, when this officially comes down and it wasn't leaked, it wasn't broken by anyone, a press release announced this to the world, it's about 36 hours. That's generally about the amount of time that I think if you were thinking you would. And I'm not sitting here trying to be, you know, trying to stick up for all Fred Glass's methods, but I'm saying if that's the way he's going to do it.
That was pretty quick.
Right. Well, and but at the same time, it's quick, but probably not too quick. It's not like he walked into the locker room after the Georgia Tech game and said, you know, this wasn't a Lane Kiffin situation. Nobody was fired on the tarmac at the airport. This was exactly what Fred Glass always said it would be, that he would wait until the end of the season. He would take stock of the program. And, you know, he was very clear to say yesterday that this wasn't a one-year decision or a four-year decision. This was a nine-year decision. That was without the quote sheet in front of me, as direct of a quote as I can give you from what he said yesterday. This is what he said he would do. He did it, and here we are.
And the interesting other part of that, too, is he said, if I thought it was a decision that was popular, that's not where I'm going, because popularity changes. I'm making a decision that is right. If you're an Indiana basketball fan, that's everything you wanted to hear yesterday from that press conference, because it's for the program moving forward. We'll get to that momentarily, but how did we get here in 9 years? Well, there's been multiple theories of why that is the case. Wins and losses, Zach, is usually what determines these press conferences and hosting them. We heard yesterday that there's some national media and some folks questioning, well, Indiana's not a good job anymore, anything else. Well, the reason they're having the press conference yesterday is because it looks like they want to change that. How did Tom Crean, in your opinion, get to that press conference yesterday?
I think There are a number of factors that you can probably consider sort of ancillary. People will talk about the sort of waning in-state recruiting. They'll talk about, you know, statistical issues like the like a defense that just always seems to kind of struggle with some of the same things, or turnover rates that were just always a little too high. And when you talk about the actual statistical performances, they probably certainly relate to the larger problem, as does state recruiting a little bit. But ultimately, I think this was about consistency. And Fred Glass more or less said that a number of times and in a number of ways yesterday. And I've long argued, you know, Indiana fans, yeah, sure, they want their team to recruit in-state. And I do think that whatever the origins or motivations behind it, Indiana basketball, the cultural link between Indiana high school basketball and Indiana college basketball, be it IU, Purdue, or Butler, or even in some instances Notre Dame, is much stronger than it is in a lot of other states. I absolutely acknowledge that. I also believe that if a coach comes in and wins 30 games a year with kids who are exclusively from the East Coast or Texas or L.A. or whatever, fans are just going to get behind that because winning is the thing that cures everything else. And in the last 6 years, it wasn't so much about the highs not being high enough. I think Fred Glass, you know, certainly had a lot of respect for winning two Big Ten titles, three Sweet 16s, all that. But you look at, for example, league finishes in the last 6 years, fifth, first, ninth, seventh, first, tenth. And just this feeling that a baseline was never really established and then kept for what, you know, sort of what Indiana could expect of itself every, you know, year over year, that the mood swings in results were just a little bit too extreme. And so when he says it's not a one-year decision, I mean, this season obviously factored into that. There's no question that it did. To go from number three in the country to a three seed in the NIT is going to be part of that inconsistency. But I do think this was a wide lens look at an entire coaching tenure and simply saying there have been some really good moments and there have been a lot of things that Tom Crean has done for Indiana that we will be forever indebted to him for. But it's just not to the standard that we want to expect. And to your point, yeah, I mean, Fred Glass was asked several times yesterday whether he still, in a number of different ways, whether he still thought this was a job that could take itself this seriously, that could hold itself to these standards, and he made it clear that he did. And more than that, I think you're right. I think he sort of made it clear that it is his motivation to try and restore some of that. And I think that's how we got to where we are.
And if that's not the goal of Indiana University and their basketball program, I've made the argument recently that I wanted to hear what direction it was going to go, because there were rumblings that this was good enough. There were rumblings that this was acceptable, winning a couple Big Ten titles. That's the whole point. The point is you can't choose which items off the buffet you like to choose success. And I think if you're an Indiana basketball fan, that's what you'd like to hear from Fred Glass yesterday. It's just not about a la carte. It's about the whole meal. It's about doing this. And you know what? Fred said it yesterday in the press conference. He's a fan first and an athletic director second, but he's making these decisions. The issue is he has put the marquee program back on the marquee and said, this is how it's going to happen. And if Fred doesn't make that happen, then we've got a whole other different story to discuss on that. Zach Osterman's our guest this morning. I don't accept that, Glass said. I think somebody suggested if I fired Tom Crean, I ought to come out in a members-only jacket because it was 1980. Even though that's my era, I don't have a members-only jacket. Talking about the state of this program moving forward, Indiana fans, I would think, should be excited from what they heard yesterday based on the financial resources, how the search is going to go, and who the candidates are for that. Let us give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of throw out candidates without, you know, I've been...
Not even candidates, his qualification on what he's looking for in candidates. I think that's more important.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, first of all, the finances. I'm not saying Indiana's going to pay its next coach $10 million, but I think if Fred identifies a candidate that he thinks is a fit and that candidate is interested, I don't think resources are going to be a problem. Which is to say, if you're asking, would Indiana pay its next coach $5 million a year, I think the answer is yes.
Let me ask you a quick question on that. If you want to get to where Fred Glass and Indiana fans dream about getting back to, that number is probably your bottom number moving forward?
I think it's probably about down the middle.
Okay.
Because, I mean, every situation is going to be different. You know, if you're hiring a coach that only makes, say, $3 million, well, then, you know, $5 million is a lot to give him. If you're hiring a
good
coach
point.
Who makes $4.7 million, then $5 million is about where you're going to need to start. Part of it is dependent upon, you know, who the hire is and why and where they're coming from. But what Fred Glass is looking for, he certainly would not close any door yesterday. I mean, you know, he said that if he wanted to look at a coach in the NBA ranks, and please understand, I don't think he was talking about Brad Stevens. I'm not talking about Brad Stevens.
Oh, Billy Donovan then, right?
I'm trying to put out every Stevens fire that I might start before it really catches. But he said that would be, quote, a detail. You know, he clearly wants to talk to coaches who have elite levels of success already in college basketball. He also said, you know, I'm not sure Bob Knight won the press conference when he was hired from Army, which to me was sort of a sideways reference to saying, I don't necessarily need to hire a guy who's got a CV as long as my arm if I think he's the right guy. The point is, he's not leaving. He's really not leaving, you know, any door not, you know, unknocked upon.
I think that was an exciting thing to hear for IU fans. I don't want to win press conferences. I want to win championships. That's, yeah.
Right. And I've long argued that I think what Fred Glass would like is to win the press conference with someone who walks in there and their combination of results and you know, ability to handle a situation like that just speak for themselves. I'm not saying he is a candidate. I'm not saying he is. I'm just using him as a placeholder example. Billy Donovan wins you the press conference simply because he walks in with two national title rings on his finger.
Four Final Fours.
Right, like that. That's winning the press conference, and it's not because somebody gave catchy quotes or, you know, had a great smile or whatever.
For somebody new to this, because not everybody's been around, when the last time Indiana hired a basketball coach was 2008. When we talk about winning the press conference, it's jargon for somebody who is qualified, a well-polished speaker, a candidate that maybe your grandma would have known about when you talk about it because of the success, not because of the haircut, the nice suit, whatever, or ability to speak. It's all that plus winning, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, I think Fred Glass would still admit this is a litmus test for where Indiana is as a program. You know, there is a chance that Indiana just is not what it wants to be or what it thinks it is still. This hire is going to determine in part where Indiana stands in the national college basketball landscape right now. And if you can go out and get an elite or, you know, borderline elite coach, then that's what Indiana is. If you struggle to recruit or attract a coach of that caliber, then that's what Indiana is.
The market will
Fred
set
Glass,
it.
Right. I think Fred Glass knows that. I also think just sort of general basketball opinion, coaches do have a generally high opinion of Indiana as a job. It is obviously the biggest job on the market right now. It is going to the market will determine where Indiana is, but Indiana is also going to set the coaching market for, you know, I mean, the rest. I know a couple of high profile schools have already hired, but
Fred also made an interesting point saying that the opportunity here to restore Indiana to maybe its past glory days will factor in on that. I'm going to take that out of the equation for a minute, because I heard a national coach yesterday on a national network say, well, Indiana's facilities really don't match up to some of the others in the country. I think that's patently false. Indiana's $20 million Cook Hall, $40 million Simon Scott Assembly Hall renovation. They're doing the whole South End Zone complex for academics, training, nutrition, computer, you name it. This should be the history, sure, will be heavy, but all the other pieces are in place, aren't they?
Yeah, I probably would reject. I mean, look, there are some places that, like Kentucky's got, it's sort of, team-only dorms and things like that. So I'm sure there are some places that have something different, maybe something a little
Jayhawk
bit more.
Jayhawk Towers, Wildcat Lodge.
But, ultimately, Indiana's got not only, number one, Indiana, I think, has really, really good facilities compared to a lot of its peers. And number two, to your point about, the South End Zone, the North End Zone, Cook Hall, the new volleyball wrestling facility, a new coach coming in will know that if he needs something, the money will be there. That there are resources to, I think back to what Kevin Wilson used to talk about with football, how one time he went to Fred and said, Fred, I want to make one of my practice fields artificial turf because it's in the shade most of the time, and so it gets kind of crappy when we start to get late into the fall and into the winter and early into the spring. Okay, there's, I think $500,000 for a new turf. I want to, spruce up my locker room. Can I get a few thousand bucks for foosball tables and pool tables and whatever? Sure, here you go. The point is, the new Indiana's next coach is going to know that there are resources for things large. He's going to have a lot of the basic big stuff he needs, and there are resources for things large and small that he might want, just little touch-ups he might want to add to his program for whatever reason. I don't think resources are going to be an issue in this. I really don't.
At Zach Osterman is his Twitter handle. Zach Osterman is the beat writer for the Indianapolis Star for Indiana football and basketball, so we get a double dip annually with Zach. Going back to that, you've got a great passionate fan base. You've got a large national footprint and an alumni base. These are heavy liftings. These are people that need to be able to handle large expectations moving down the road. But the one other thing, back to the money for a minute, Indiana's recruiting budget, Indiana's travel, Indiana's all that stuff is through the roof. You can't look at the Big Ten and say, hey, look, we need to go from eighth to second in any of that, right?
Right. No, I mean, I think that's absolutely correct. And I think that...
So nobody's reinventing the wheel here.
It just comes back to me, to this idea that the next coach is going to know whatever he within some reason, whatever he needs, he's going to get. I mean, I'm genuinely, I think this has become a point of sort of lampooning among fans. I'm not making fun of it at all. Tom Crean said, my new strength coach wants a sand pit for off-season training. He thinks it's good for this reason, this reason, this reason. They dug a hole, they filled it with sand, he had a sand pit. And my point is, I think the next coach is going to look at things like that, and you're going to look at the projects big, like Cook Hall or the NEZ, or I guess we'll start calling it the SEZ.
Both.
And he's going to look at little things like small, like I want to spend a little bit of money to change the way that we train in the off season. Boom, no problem. And I'm not saying that the next coach is just going to have a credit card with a bottomless, credit limit that Fred Glass will pay off every month. But it's clear that the commitment to the men's basketball program financially in ways both large and small is something that Fred Glass believes and is ready to back up as part of the appeal of the job.
Why do people or fans, and it's not a huge segment, but there's enough of it on social media that I notice it, why is there a segment of fans that believes that IU will never, quote-unquote, be to that level again? Because the level was so high in the first place? Or what is the outlying factor there?
Well, probably a little bit of that. Probably some of, at the end of the day, there's only going to be so much room at the big boys' table. I mean, there's only so many elite recruits to go around. The Final Four only gets to include four teams. And I think that probably there's maybe a little bit of a feeling like you got to knock somebody off, to really get back there in a meaningful way. And look, not being flippant, just being honest, it's been 15 years since Indiana was in a Final Four. It's been 30 years since Indiana won a national title. I mean, I'm 30 years old. I've been in this job for 4 years. I've been covering Indiana professionally for the last, seven. And
but isn't this the exact...
No, but just hold on. If you go back all the way to my time in college, I've been around Indiana Athletics as a reporter for a decade.
Sure.
I'm 30 now, and I can't remember a time when Indiana was legitimately, consistently nationally relevant. Now, being close enough to the program, I certainly understand why that is the goal, and I certainly think that that is a feasible and reasonable aim. But when you just kind of talk about more broadly, I do think it is sometimes, I think some IU fans can kind of just get caught in this echo chamber of just sort of constantly reaffirming their belief that they're a sleeping giant, a borderline elite program, whatever.
No, they're not a sleeping giant. That's why they had a press conference yesterday. They've decided they are no longer going to be in that category. They've decided that, which you've just mentioned, with resources and coaching hires and no stones left unturned and winning press conferences and winning games, they've decided they are no longer going to be that. I think that's what you take from yesterday. If they would have said Tom's going to continue down that path, I think the talk of that would be more relevant. But I think the buck has stopped. The buck has stopped here. This next hire obviously will be absolutely huge in Fred Glass's career. It will be absolutely huge in the next chapter of IU basketball. But Wisconsin was terrible for 400 years, and all of a sudden they've gone to 19 tournaments in a row. Don't tell me this can't happen again.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it can't. I'm just saying I think it's important. I think perspective in a process like this is equally important. That's what I'm saying.
And the perspective won't even be known until the coach is hired. That's going to tell you really how this is moving forward, right? That's going to be the next clue in all this, because if they hire me as the coach, then you say, oh, geez, you got no chance for another 30 years. But if they hit one out of the park, why couldn't Indiana turn back to that level, I guess would be my question.
I don't think there's any reason to believe Indiana can't. I'm just saying I don't think this is necessarily a situation where you snap your fingers and it's fixed. I think that it's going to take a smart, methodical, logical hire, and then I think it's going to take making sure that you are supporting that hire in all the ways that that hire needs to be supported or says he needs to be supported. And I'm not, you know, preaching all sorts of patience. The next guy doesn't need the sort of 3-year grace period that Tom Crean got for obvious reasons. Tom Crean was walking into a very different situation. But if Indiana's not in the Elite Eight next year, that's not evidence of this all being a mistake.
Absolutely.
Or the whole thing being handled poorly. If you're Fred Glass, you're making a hire for the next 20 years, not the next 20 months.
Right.
If that makes sense.
That is. And you know what? People need time to bet in. People need time to figure it out. But an elite-level coach should change things on the basketball court sooner than later. Then we can worry about recruiting down the road. Then we can worry about things like that. And with some of the players that Indiana might have or have not next year, who knows how that's going to work out, that should change almost immediately.
Yeah, I mean, and that's who you hire, and their qualifications is probably going to determine partially. You know, you can't really have the conversation about who stays and who goes until you know who the next coach is.
That's absolutely right.
Because, you know, and then you have a conversation about, okay, well, how much, you know, in terms of personnel, what's this coach got? What's their system? You know, like to use an example that I think, I kind of want to be clear, like I'm not putting this out there as a hard and firm candidate, but like Tony Bennett, if you look at his time at Virginia, his first couple of years were kind of very average.
And his next six were 20 wins.
Right. Well, more like, I mean, 23 wins or more.
Right. It's
big
time.
And the point is, he's obviously got a very specific style, a very specific system, and it took him a couple of years to recruit and develop and install that. Once he did, a baseline was established. And I'm not saying it's Tony Bennett. I just, like, I'm going out of my way. I'm bending over.
We got you.
But there are coaches who may not win 25 games next season. That doesn't mean they're not going to be able to establish a baseline of winning 25 games per season.
No, Indiana fans want 25 or more wins every season, which is fine, but what they don't want is every other season with 18 wins or 17 wins. That's the other side of that issue.
Exactly.
Indiana's next basketball coach will be hired by when? Final question.
Well, considering Fred Glass wouldn't rule out the NBA thing, I would say by May 1. I think it'll happen well before then, but Fred Glass is clearly not ruling out going down the NBA road. And the NBA season doesn't end until April 12th. And then you've got to talk about whether or not guys are in the playoffs and those different things. I'm not saying it's going to be an NBA guy. I think that it's probably more likely just on the averages of the fact that there's going to be a lot more candidates in the college ranks, that it's a college coach, that it's someone that is plucked from somewhere else in college basketball.
There's only 30 NBA guys. There's not a lot to choose from there.
Right, right. And you can sort of immediately weed out a number of them for a variety of different reasons.
So I'm writing you down for May 1st.
If Fred Glass is not ruling out looking through the coaching pool in the NBA, then I don't think you can say with total veracity that it will not be an NBA coach. And if that's the case, NBA season doesn't end until April 12th. And I guess it's possible somebody could leave on their team, you know, before that, but that doesn't happen very often.
All right, so we've got you down for May 1st. Can we do this again soon?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me.
You're the man. Zach Osterman, the beat writer for the Indiana Hoosiers, football and basketball, and a busy, busy Friday morning. He's had a tremendously busy week and a busy yesterday, and I know he's a little under the weather, so I really appreciate him making the time for us this morning to help you hopefully understand this a little bit better.